The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. I will tell you, I got a bit of a thorn in my side. I am not coming to you in the best of spirits, of which I fully blame on none other than Ariel Helwani. So I just had a conversation with Ariel. We were doing Ariel and the Bad Guy in ESPN+. And he infuriates me. He infuriates me at times where I have a hard time speaking and responding. I almost can't lower my IQ enough to engage in a conversation of thought with him. I like Ariel. This is not a bare Ariel session, but he still pisses me off whether I like him or not. And the topic had come up about Thug Rose going over to Brazil to take on a Brazilian challenger for her title. And Ariel voiced to me how much he did not like this idea for Rose, that she has been out for X amount of time, and now she's got to go to Brazil, and there'll be 45,000 people, and they'll all be cheering against her, and blah, 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 and she shouldn't have taken the fight. That just annoys me. That annoys me on so many different levels, particularly from the fact that this is a show. It is show business. The show must go on. And when you come at this from a perspective that everything needs thought and overthought and discussed, and what is best for me, and how can I, as the athlete trying to gain ground in my career, go and make the right moves and give myself the best opportunity to win? That's infuriating. And while that may sound like that makes sense, it doesn't, and it's annoying. And I'll give you the answer in short. Should Thug Rose be stacking the deck against herself and it's insurmountable and she can't climb that mountain, then guess what? She loses and she drops the strap. That's the sport, and that's the business. And it doesn't need overthought any more than that. And this is nothing about Thug Rose, FYI. I know she listens to the show, and I do not want her to misinterpret my words here. She just happens to be the athlete that we were discussing. And every single fight time that a fight gets announced and somebody wants to sit down and talk about talking and meet about meeting, it is infuriating to me, okay? And there always seems to be two schools of thought here. And the promoter always seems to be the scumbag in the room. The promoter is always the liar. Now, the fighter cannot go through with his obligation. The fighter cannot go through with his responsibility. The fighter cannot go through with his commitment, but he's never the liar and he's never the scumbag. It always falls onto the promoter. And there always seems to be a narrative that the promoter told me and the promoter didn't follow through with it. I can't tell you how many times I have read this book and seen this movie. There seems to be, need to be, a coming to the minds of the promoter to come out and tell the people. And look, Vince McMahon did a very good job with this. And perhaps Scott Coker and Dana White and Bob Arum and Don King, perhaps they haven't done it yet. And maybe they just need to do what Vince did, which is to come out openly and say, the only thing I'm ever going to give you is an opportunity, and that's it. Whatever you do with it, you do with it. I'm moving on with business. Either way, I will give you an opportunity to come along for as long as you can. But that's it. Where I go with this is, look, information is only true when I give it to you. If I'm the promoter, if I'm the executive producer, it's good until I get a better offer. And I don't feel that I need to tell that to you. I'm going to assume that you know that. I have a show to make. I have a responsibility, not to you, but to the fans. Not to you, but to the people that show up in the office every single day. And there seems to be a disconnect. A major disconnect from the fighter who says he wants to be here, who is a volunteer army, who was not drafted, who worked his way up and begged for the opportunity that he finally got. Something changes once he gets that opportunity. I don't know what in the hell it is. I don't know what it, I just see it happen. But there does seem to be a disconnect from that athlete who is going to be given by his boss, who is going to pay him a livable, earnable, handsome wage. 362 days a year off. The fighter is going to be given a contract with a livable wage. 362 days off. He is going to be called upon 3 days a year to work. The promoter has to work 7 days a week. The promoter does not get a day off. And you will always hear these arrogant pricks that want to come out and go, I work 365, 24/7. No, you don't. Shut up with all that. Sometimes when you're doing international business like Scott Coker or Dana White does, it's true. There are some parts of the world that don't even know what days Hanukkah fall on. There are some parts of the world that do not understand that December 25th in America is a recognized holiday. Just by example, when you're doing international business, you literally don't get a day off. So when you're in the office and you're grinding it out and you're moving forward and you've got commitments, you've got venues, books, and tickets on sale and marketing going out, and somebody you're doing business with that you have a contract with who you pay a livable wage to is only having to work 3 days a year, to be told on one of those 3 days that you call them, or two of those 3 days, or with some of these athletes, all three of those 3 days, no, doesn't work for me. Can't do it. Don't want to do it. Change the opponent. Change the date. I don't feel good. This, that, and the other thing. It's infuriating. And people are going to get their feelings hurt. Somebody is going to come out of that thing feeling like they were lied to. So allow me to speak for the promoters of the world that don't need me to speak for them, but allow me to right now. As the biggest show in MMA, allow me to take the obligation and the time to inform you whatever I tell you is true at the moment I tell you, with the caveat that it will change as soon as I get a better offer. The moment a better idea comes, a more marketable idea that makes better sense in a sport that does not have a season, that plays 52 weeks in a 52-week calendar year. So things change extremely quickly. We do not sit down ahead of time and figure out the schedules. The Ravens are playing the Rams 3 Sundays from now, and the Patriots are taking on the Eagles, and then we're going to go into a playoffs. No, it's not preset. The landscape changes. I would expect you guys to know that. I would not come out and tell you this because I would not think that I have to. I would assume that you know that. I would assume that you would be a team player. And I would assume that when you have a job that you begged for with a company that you wanted to be at, and it comes with terms that you get 362 days a year off, that you show up for work on those 3 days, on time, every time, with a smile on your face. I would assume that. And if you think the promoter's a prick for having that assumption, you're wrong. You're the one that's wrong. Things are going to change, and if you want to navigate and you want to politic and you want to strategize and you want to outthink these moves, then make sure you keep in mind that if you are fighting 3 times a year, once every 4 months on average, you are going to get a phone call. Do your politicking, not when that call comes, not after that call comes, but before it comes. I will tell you right now, and I don't mean to come to you as the brainiac know-it-all that knows everything, but since 2011, I have never had a fight, ever, that wasn't a main event in a sold-out arena that I picked before my phone ever rang. I do not mean to personalize this and act like, ah, Chael's got all the answers. But it is Chael talking to you, and I want to come to you with a level of credibility of telling you this is the way that it works. Up until 2011, I sat back, I let my phone ring. I did what they had in mind. I then realized the strategy of influencing them before the phone ever rings. That is your time to do it. If you want to go out and do media, if you want to go to social media, if you want to get something going or pick something or help to steer your own career, do it ahead of time. Once that phone rings, that means you didn't do a good job with your decision making and your planning and your strategy, so you're going to do it the boss's way. That's the business, that's the agreement, and that's fair. The promoter can't always be the scumbag when the promoter is the one working 365 days a year. I have had Scott Coker call me before. Say, Chael, what do you think about doing this? Very nice way for him to present it to me. What do you think about it? Very nice for him to make me feel as though I'm part of it. Well, Scott, how far along are we on this process? Well, Chael, we've got a venue booked. We've got an entire team. We've got a lease on 2 different buildings of an office space that's full with marketing people and PR people and a legal team and everything that you could need to have a huge business like this moving forward, and we're just looking for a main event. We got you under contract. Well, excuse me, Scott. Well, then, yes, I'm in. What, I'm going to screw everybody because I don't feel like doing it? Not for nothing, but I kind of expected this phone call. I fight 3 times a year. Haven't fought in a little bit. Was waiting for you to call. What, I'm going to act like Johnny surprised when my phone lights up and it says Coker? Well, geez, Scott, what are you calling for? What do you want? Oh, my God, a fight? Oh, I had never considered that. Gee, let me sit down with my team and think about nothing. I'm like the United States Marines. I'm looking for a fight. I'm in the fight business. I'm wanting a fight to break out. Yeah, thank you very much for the call. Next time, save yourself a dime. Shoot me a text. We have a contract. We don't have anything to talk about. I'm not coming back and renegotiating with you. We have a contract. Good or bad or indifferent, a deal's a deal. Give me somebody to fight. I don't know where that attitude's been lost. In real sports, it's there. People want to talk about, oh, yeah, MMA is mainstream. Well, apparently it's not mainstream, guys. Apparently there's a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of interest in MMA, but apparently it's not mainstream, okay? Brett Favre didn't sit down before every Sunday and try to renegotiate his contract. Well, you know, we're playing over there in Atlanta today, and they got 10,000 more tickets to sale, and we're not head-to-head with any college basketball that day. I think our ratings are going to be better. We're probably going to bring in more. I think that merchandise sales are going to be good. I'd like an extra $20,000 to play. It doesn't work that way. It's not how mainstream sports work. They don't chicken out at the last, oh, that's a really hard game. LeBron James is a wimp. LeBron James is a total wimp. LeBron James will play anybody on any game you want to do it. He'll throw his little headband on and walk out there and tip that ball. That's what a mainstream guy does. Nobody sits out the Olympics. There's never been an NCAA tournament in history where the top team or the top player or the top athlete sits it out. Those are real sports. Those are mainstream sports. Apparently, MMA is not ready for that. And apparently, the ones holding it up aren't in leadership. They're in the locker rooms. But it's the locker rooms whose voices get heard. It's the locker rooms that are bitching and pointing the finger and bringing everybody else down. And the people that they're bringing down are working 7 days a week, taking immense risks and succeeding in business and then sharing that, spreading the butter around, taking a socialistic approach where the floor's not that low and everybody rises up. And the boys in the back that only get called upon 3 times a year, their fans are out slugging it out every day to have the income to part with to come to the venues and watch, some of which are in destinations. Some of which they have to fly in to do it. The fans got to get up every day and slug it out, regardless of the weather, regardless of how they feel, to have the income to part with an athlete who has become entitled and is only asked by legal binding contract to show up for work 3 times a year. Is it really so much to ask from the promoter that when those 3 times come, you do it my way? And you show up with a smile on your face, because that's what LeBron does. And I can sit here and tell you he's a wimp. I can tell you Tiger's a wimp. I think I'm right to do it. But they sack up and nut up and walk out there with a smile and happy to compete in their chosen field that they are contracted to do every single time.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
The fight for the football postseason is underway, and the sports betting expert RJ Bell is wired into the big game.
I feel good about it, and thank you so much for all the support. It really means a lot.
Tune in to hear the best analysis and play-by-plays before RJ heads to Atlanta for the final showdown.
Jibber jabber all you want, as long as you're one of the best guys out there. Whoop, deal with it. And then when you're not, bye-bye.
Download RJ Bell's Dream Preview every week on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcast.
What you wear and what you put into your body is made to help you look, feel, and perform at your best. Shouldn't what you put on your skin every day do the same? Our new sponsor, Art of Sport, combines innovation and the best science and guidance of world-class athletes to take skincare to the next level for everyone. We all deserve to give our skin what it needs to smell, look, and feel its best. Use the promo code CHAMP at artofsport.com and get 50% off a trial kit plus free shipping. Again, that's promo code CHAMP at artofsport.com to get 50% off a trial kit and free shipping and treat your skin with the respect it deserves. Art of Sport, better for you products that perform better.
Now back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
So then once I get done with this, once I get done with educating, okay, Ariel, I got a couple of free minutes. So I click upon a common website known as TMZ. And who do I see on there but Tito Ortiz? And who is Tito talking about but Chael Sonnen? And I'm really happy about that. I like that. I don't like Tito. I want to beat Tito up. But then Tito is talking about he wants to do the fight at MSG and he's going to sit down and Scott Coker will probably do this and it'll probably take place in Bellator. Okay, let me step in right there, okay? It's going to take place in Bellator if it happens at all. Part one. Part one is that. Second, Tito, you and I aren't doing business. You're coming to this acting like we're doing business. You are the B-side, my friend, and I don't like to talk that way. But you will come to the ring. I will walk out second. I have not sold out an arena in a number of years. I have the two biggest gates in Bellator history. You just fought at home, my friend. You fought in your backyard. They papered the house, and the building looked like people were dressed up as empty seats. They papered the house. They did a Black Friday special, which is humiliating and embarrassing, and it was in your backyard. Imagine if they came to West Lynn, okay? Excuse me. Imagine if they came to West Lynn. That place is going to be packed. They did it in your backyard, gave tickets away, and you still couldn't fill a house. As a matter of fact, you bankrupted a company. You sent Golden Boy Promotions to its death. So don't come to this. You don't have a contract, Tito. This isn't about you and I doing business. You can't do business. You're being handed the golden ticket. You're getting called out by Chael Sonnen. So your negotiation with Scott Coker is going to go something like this. Yeah, Scott, I'm Tito, and I want Chael Sonnen money, and I want to be the main event. And Tito, wrong. Come in there with your hat in your hand. Say, hey, Scott, I realize I screwed you over. I realize I went to the media and said terrible lies about you and your company that were absolutely not true. I realize I've screwed Dana White over. I realize that I just busted Oscar De La Hoya. I realize that nobody wants me. But Chael's calling me out, and they do want to see him. And for some reason, he wants me. So I'm going to have to get a little something here, and I'm going to have to get a contract, even though you don't want to do one with me. And I'm going to have to get an opportunity in this contest. That's how that meeting should go. And if it does go that way, you'll probably get something done. But if you come in talking stupid about MSG, which is on the other side of the country, when you couldn't sell out in your backyard. Matter of fact, I don't even want to talk about selling. You couldn't even fill it up. They were giving tickets away. There's radio stations all over town. Hey, be the first caller and get 20 tickets. Be the second caller and get 10 tickets. Just call us and come down here and pick up tickets. They still couldn't fill up an arena. I'm not looking to do business with you, Tito. I'm looking to beat you up. There is a significant difference here. I don't want to be your partner. I want to fight you. We can do that the right way, or we can do that at the parking lot at Bad Guy Inc. I'll video it, put it on my YouTube page, and we'll do 100 times more views than you did on pay-per-view for your last fight. You are a man without a country. I am giving you an opportunity. But I'm not doing it for the same reason I did it last time, to go get your rolls out of Hawk. I'm not getting your rolls out of Hawk this time. This isn't about business. This is personal. This is you and I'm not getting your rolls out, Tito. I'll go take it myself. I'll break in the yard. I'll take it out. I'll drive it past your house with the windows down playing country music. You'll hear me and David Coe playing. I'm lighting up a mouth cannon, driving past your driveway, laying on the horn. You like saving cash, right? You know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Well, if that revs your engines, then get ready for this. You can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. So I will tell you one piece of good news that I came across, though. All right? Even though my day started off a little bit rough here, I came across one piece of news that I liked. I stumbled across BloodyElbow.com. Conor McGregor was in some kind of a dust-up with Faraz. Now, I don't love that. And as you guys know, I see a difference between athletes and coaches. I don't think that athletes should come after coaches. That is my own personal belief. But as I'm reading about this dust-up, I then went over to something the kids call the Underground Forum. And Barry Bonds MVP had posted, whether this is accurate or not, I just chose to believe it, that Conor McGregor was in talks with Pauly to box. I will tell you why I like this. First, I don't know if this is accurate, but I do know it is accurate that earlier in the week, Conor McGregor called out that Japanese gentleman, the kickboxer that had just fought Floyd. And as ridiculous as that may sound, I do like the angle being pursued here by Conor. There's a lot of things that Conor can do. And one thing that Conor said when he came in this sport, and he says it a number of times, I'm changing the game. And as many times as he said it, I sat back and looked at it and said, well, you haven't changed a damn thing. In fact, you haven't even caught up with the game. But over time, I will give it to him. He has done things that have absolutely changed the game. He has negotiated contracts. He has fluctuated between sports, moved weight classes, moved the needle, and done things that nobody else has done. What I would suggest for you, and I don't know that I'm correct, but I've certainly got a couple of clues. One from his call out of the Japanese kickboxer, and two, for the rumor started on the underground, which not for nothing does tend to where their smoke turns out to be fire, is when you talk about what's going to be next for Conor, it doesn't necessarily have to be by the book. There's not actually anything within him or his draw ability that says he needs to be fighting top contenders and he needs to be fighting for championships and he needs to be fighting the hardest fights of all time. Or at that time, if he was to take a script from Floyd Mayweather's book, who has made a career and a meaningful name in this space for himself for a meaningful period of time. Floyd didn't do any of those things. Floyd fought a bunch of bums. Bunch of bums. Half of them I couldn't name. Floyd's had 50 fights. I think I've seen them all. I think I could probably name 6 to 8 of them for you. Definitely could not hit 10. So why in the hell? And it's not just Floyd. I just offer Floyd because he's a recent name that just fought one of those bums. He's a name that you guys would know, but that's been the boxing model for years. That's what Anthony Joshua is doing right now. Right now. It's what Mike Tyson did. It's what Holyfield. All I'm offering to you is that in MMA, we don't do that. It's iron on iron every single time. In boxing, take out a bunch of bums. In wrestling, they call it squash matches. They call it enhancement talent. Undercard guys. Jobbers. Guys like Tito, right? In fairness. There's a lot of that that goes on. So why could Conor McGregor, who has, in fairness, changed many parts of the game, not adopt that one? Why could he not go to Japan for a special one-off and take a Japanese kickboxer? As MMA fans were quickly going to push back and goes, well, that makes no sense. You will clobber the guy. Yeah, so what? So what? Mike Tyson became 29-0, clobbering jobbers who you couldn't name, couldn't recognize, and in fights that you never saw that took place at the dog park. But in boxing, it was very important to have over 20 fights and have an O in the loss column. That was just a really important element of boxing. If you lost 10 fights in boxing, you were a bum. You were a bum. They would never talk about you. They'd never sign you. You'd never be seen on TV again. MMA doesn't work that way. Most of the greats, everybody's got a loss, including John Jones. Many times as I've heard people try to rewrite history, John Jones has a loss. Most guys have a whole bunch of them. Whole bunch of them. But it's a different sport. So as we like to push back and say, well, Conor, that's ridiculous. Conor, that isn't competitive. Conor, we don't, you and Pauly doesn't make any sense and there's no title on the line. Conor's going to sit back and retort with you the same as Floyd Mayweather and the same as Mike Tyson. Are you going to watch? And you're going to have to sit there and respond, yeah, Conor, I am. I don't care if you're grappling or arm wrestling. There's something special about your lure. There's something special about your entertainment. And yes, I'm going to watch. So then Conor's going to sit back and respond. Then why would I only fight number one contenders? Why would I only fight world championship fights? Why would I only fight iron on iron? Why would I not slip in the boxing and the wrestling model that has been around forever, which is to take on a bunch of bums and a bunch of enhancement talent and a bunch of undercard jobbers and once every couple of years get in there with a contender? That's what combat's been built around. Football and basketball, Tiger and Serena, they take out a bunch of bums. And then a couple of times a year, there's a real competition and a real tournament. So perhaps that is the direction that Conor is going. I don't know if he is. I am suggesting to you perhaps. And if that is accurate, and if he is going to bring in the enhancement talent model that has been around far surpassing the time of MMA, that may not be wonderful for MMA. But that would be very good for Conor, and that would be very intelligent by Conor. And if that is what we are seeing, and Connor is now answering the question for us that what is next for Connor is something fun, something baffling, something competitive, combative, and a spectacle, and that is the realm and the seat that he wants to fill for a period of time, hats off to him. Let's take a second to give a big shout out to our friends at TrueCar. With TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer on your vehicle. In the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth or to pet your dog or to do a few sit-ups, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your phone, even from your house. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, you can bring in your car. They'll check it out with you together. They're going to ask you a few questions, little things they need to know so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or your trade-in on your new vehicle. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. You know, I'll tell you one that got away from us. Anthony Johnson versus John Jones. And that fight was supposed to take place at one time. And before you knew it, Anthony had retired and the fight didn't happen. I think John's hit and run is what interrupted that. And John was suspended. And at any rate, Anthony's gone and we didn't get that fight. But there is some talk about him coming back by him. He is saying he has that itch again. Now, he's actually in a very interesting spot. Okay. Before Daniel Cormier had moved up to heavyweight, Anthony Johnson kind of had a wide open lane to come back at heavyweight. And I'll remind you guys, when he was on the regional circuit, when he was in the UFC, then out of the UFC and working his way back, on the regional circuit, he covered a span of many weight classes, but one of them was heavyweight. And he had some very tough fights, including against Andre Arlovsky, where he broke Andre's jaw into that fight in the very first round. I mean, he did some really good work at heavyweight when he settled back in the UFC. He settled back at 205 pounds. Had the problems with Daniel Cormier matchups, and then ended up surprisingly retiring from the sport. But I always thought, boy, there's a big opportunity. We're going to see Rumble back. Rumble is going to come back. But when and where? I would think it will be at heavyweight. And I will think he will have some very compelling matchups. And however he does in them, he will still, with success, be fast-tracked to a world championship fight. I think I'm right about all of those things. The trouble for Anthony came when Daniel Cormier all of a sudden moved up to heavyweight. Because if Rumble was to come back, I personally believe he would be at heavyweight. He's been into powerlifting and he looks great and he's spending all that same time that he used to spend in MMA. He's spending lifting weights. He's huge. I don't think he's going to come back and try to take that weight off and go back to 205 pounds. If he did, be a magnificent fight there with he and Jones. I just don't think he would do that, which means he's coming back at heavyweight, which begs the question, where can he go? He's going to come in, be an instant contender just by putting his name on a contract, win a fight, be a top contender, and then run right back into Daniel Cormier, which is just simply not a fight that they're going to make for a third time. Just not going to happen. Now, with the announcement that Daniel Cormier has an expiration date of possibly March 6th, if he is to stay at that opinion of himself, and that begs to be true, then Anthony Rumble Johnson could come back, grab a win, wait for the expiration date, and all of a sudden slide right into a contender's fight, a championship title fight at heavyweight. The reason I bring this up is there continues to be speculation, and now there's starting to be a little bit more evidence, and now you're even seeing Rumble say, and I quote, I have the itch, and then he's releasing photos of himself in the gym. And why isn't the MMA gym? He's still working out. He still looks fantastic, and there are still people there that want to see him. He's one of those guys that left the sport and retired too soon. I think that there's room for him to come back. I think there's a roadmap for him to come back in compelling matches and go right to the top. And I think with the retirement of Daniel Cormier, I think I just laid that roadmap out. Guys, I will tell you what, I am in a foul mood today, and I don't think that you guys deserve to be shouted out by me. I don't think that's going to brighten your day, so I'm going to cut this a little bit short. But before I go, I am going to give one friendly piece of free advice to fellow fighters. Okay, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. If you see a recipe out there that is working for somebody, that does not mean that you can just copy it. It is not like reinventing the wheel. There is a time and a place for everything. Corey Anderson, I've never met him. He's a fellow wrestler. I'm a fan. I cheer for him. He's a tough guy. He seems like a perfectly sweet guy. To watch Corey Anderson continually stub his toe and skin his knee and not have any idea that he's doing it and not have his managers or his team around him grab him and sit him down and tell him all the things that he is doing wrong is not only baffling to me, it is frustrating to me. Okay? Daniel Cormier has made more headlines lately talking about his retirement than anything else that he has done in the cage. Because he is on top, because people do not want to see him retire, because he has some mega fights out there, and because he has a world championship. He is an anomaly. He is in a special place. For another fighter to see that and think they are going to get headlines, and in this case I'm talking about Corey Anderson coming out and talking about when he wants to retire, it is a sucker's move on the highest of levels. First off, most people don't know you're fighting. Like Rodney Dangerfield did a wonderful and very funny bit one time when he said, you know what, I retired, and nobody knew. And there's a lot of truth to that. There are many guys that will be in this sport, and they will go away, and nobody's going to know the difference. There are guys that will be released from contracts, and nobody will know they were released. There are guys that might have won as recently as this weekend or have a fight coming up as recently as next weekend, and nobody's going to know. So you have to pick your times. The last thing a promoter wants is a guy that doesn't want to do it. The last thing a promoter is going to get behind and put money behind and a marketing machine behind and a favorable fight or two behind, and yes, there are politics involved in this sport, is a guy who's about to leave. The last thing that a fan is going to buy a t-shirt of and follow on social media and build anticipation for is a guy who is about to leave. The last thing that a sponsor is going to throw a goddamn dollar at is a guy who is about to leave. If you fighters are seeing Daniel Cormier get a lot of run out of talking about retirement, it is because he is a star. He is marketable. He is a box office proven draw, and it's not time for him to go. That is not a sign to then go copy that recipe. If you want the hardest fights for the lowest pay with no sponsorship, come out and tell the world you're about to retire. Have a great weekend. Until next Wednesday, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you have pissed me off.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Shut it down!
Hi, I'm John Taffer. You probably know me because I've rescued thousands of bars, hundreds of them on TV.
That's your future broken!
I'm also a best-selling author, and I've owned and operated a bunch of other businesses. But now, I'm here on Podcast One with my new show, No Excuses.
I only yell at assholes.
Every Tuesday, I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm giving you all things bar rescue, insider peeks of what's going on the set, current events and topics you care about, with in-your-face analysis, and you know how straight I can be. And I'm going to have unforgettable guest interviews with the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to ask them the questions that nobody else has ever asked them. And yes, sometimes I can be a bit of an ass, but I'm going to shut it down every Tuesday and make no excuses. It's going to be the number one show here on Podcast One. Listen to it every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, on the Podcast One app, and on Apple Podcasts. And remember, rate and review it, or I'm going to shut you down.